We'll pray for Doug as we get to this. Now, where we are today is Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And in order, I think, to fully understand the significance of these last five verses of chapter 10, I think it's important that we recognize that the Holy Spirit wanted this passage of Scripture to immediately follow the parable of the Good Samaritan. You look ahead, what we did last week was a parable of Good Samaritan. And the lesson of the Good Samaritan is simply that all of our theology and all of our Bible learning doesn't matter a lick if it doesn't translate into practical doing. It's awesome that we want to know as much about the Word of God as we can. And we need to study to show ourselves approved. But if all that learning doesn't translate into action, then we're living far below the life that God has called us to live. Notice the last verse we did last week, verse 37 of chapter 10. And Jesus says to this good, to the lawyer guy, he who showed mercy on him, he asked him a question about the, Jesus said in 36, he said, 36, so which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer guy says, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus says to him, you see it? Go and do. Go and do. Go and live out what you know to be true about God, what you know to be true about your faith. Go live it out in front of people. And these lawyers and these religious leaders, they live life for God in their minds. It didn't translate into living for God at all and serving people and caring about people and having compassion on people. So that's the story of the Good Samaritan. And so I guess the point I'm trying to make there is that we're all called to do. But when we live a life of doing, and some of us are a little more of a doer, we kind of understand that whole idea of things, there's a weakness to being a doer. And God addresses the weakness then, starting in verse 38. And that's the section that we have in front of us. He's saying, God is, if we are gravitate toward primarily serving and not sitting at the feet of Jesus, then we're missing an important element in our relationship with God. So here, let's just read these five verses. Chapter 10 of Luke, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and says to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for the time we have today to study and grow in our understanding of you. We thank you that your Holy Spirit's at work in this room right now, working in our hearts, always pointing us to Jesus. Lord, that's why we're here today. We want to know you in a deeper way. We pray that you would transform our lives because we want to be more like Jesus. Lord, thank you for this section of Scripture. Bring it to light to us, Lord. We do pray for the hurting in the body of Christ today throughout this world. We pray for the persecuted church, Lord. We pray for every church in this community today, God, that as men get up and share your truth, that, Lord, that your word would just come alive to all those people. We lift Doug before you this morning, Lord. Pray that you would bring a healing touch to his body, bring strength. Pray for Nancy and Elliot too, Lord. I pray that through this time, their faith would grow tremendously. Have your way in our hearts, we ask, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So at this point in Jesus' life, as we pick up verse 38, he's only a few months from dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And the religious leaders are becoming more and more hostile to Jesus. And they're intimidating his followers. And really putting a lot of pressure on his followers. In fact, if you looked over in John 9, you'd see that the religious leader said that anyone who had anything to do with the carpenter from Galilee would be excommunicated from Judaism. That's a big deal. And yet, this lady, by the name of Martha, invites Jesus into her home. And at some point in time past, Martha and Jesus and Martha's sister Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus had developed a really good friendship with Jesus. And they lived in a town of Bethany, which is east of Jerusalem, just a couple of miles. And they opened up their home to Jesus a number of times. As you study the gospel, you'll see that Jesus is hanging around them and at their home. And I guess I wanted you to recognize the courage that it took for Martha and Mary and Lazarus to have Jesus in their home at this point. And notice the activity that each of the women chose as Jesus shows up that day. Jesus gets there. What's Martha do? Heads right to the kitchen because she's going to prepare a meal for Jesus. And I think Martha's greatly misunderstood by the average Christian. You'll hear people say, well, I'm a Martha. Or they'll compare someone to being a Martha. And most times it's used in a negative context, meaning they're a busy bee. They do a lot of things. But I don't think we should judge her heart based on her being a doer, because Martha loves Jesus. Martha is a very spiritual girl, and she's doing a great thing. She's opened her home and preparing a meal for Jesus. Now, if Jesus was coming to your house, let's say it's tomorrow night, what would you do? I mean, I don't doubt you'd find the vacuum, right? And you'd probably you'd head to the bathrooms and try to clean that up a little bit, and all the clutter that's accumulated around the house, you'd probably get all that in order, and you'd probably tell your kids, don't you dare say that, and you better never say this. And sometimes if I'm invited over to the house, if the parents leave the room, I like to ask the kids, what did they tell you not to tell me? You know, just to get a sense of, yeah, I know that's probably not right, but it's kind of interesting. In fact, I may do it tonight when I get to the Nicklin's house. We have home group at their house tonight. They've been told. And what would you serve? T-bone steak? Ham and beans? No, he's kosher. You can't, no bacon, you know, can't have any of that. Serve lamb? How many of us eat lamb? You know, I don't know. What would we do? I guess what we got to realize is everything they made back then, you made from scratch. I mean, you couldn't go to Kroger and buy a bunch of deli meat and a container of macaroni and cheese. That wasn't available to you. You couldn't go to Happy Dragon carry out, you know. You couldn't go to Meijer and get one of those little roasted chickens and bring it home and have that with macaroni and cheese. None of that was available back then. You had to do it all yourself. And so that's what this girl's in the midst of doing, is trying to make everything for Jesus. And if you notice at verse 38, the word they, as it happened, as they went, well, his apostles are with him. So probably in the home is not just Jesus, you got the 12. So Mary or Martha's preparing a meal for at least 15 people. That's no small task. Now, the other hand, there's Martha. On the other hand, see what Mary did. She chose, I'm going to go sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him teach. It's interesting to note that every time Mary is mentioned in the Gospels, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Every time. And when a rabbi would speak in public, you know, he would sit and the people would stand. But in a private setting, the teacher would sit and then the students would sit at his feet listening to whatever he would have to say. So the people are sitting around. They're not just chit-chatting about, what do you think of that crazy election? Isn't that wild what's going on in America? They're not talking about that. Jesus is teaching them in the setting. And so they're trying to hear about kingdom things, about God things. And Mary wants to hear what Jesus has to say. He wasn't in her home every day. So if he's there, I'm going to be with him. And the interesting thing about this story, and maybe you'll identify with it, is I find that both Mary and Martha live inside of my heart. But for me, it's much easier for me to function as a Martha. Do, 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 do. And to get in my regular routine. But then, within my regular routine, I can be very inflexible. I can be very critical. I can easily blame others. Sometimes even the Lord for the things that come that kind of throw me out of my routine. But I need to be more like Mary, desiring to simply sit at Jesus' feet and enjoy his presence. And when I do that, though, all I can think about are the things I ought to be doing. I ought to be doing this, and I should be doing that, and I got to push all those thoughts aside. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? But we got to push those thoughts aside and say, Lord, I just want to sit with you. And then out of that time and under his inspiration, then I can get up and go serve the Lord the way he wants. You know, think about this. We have a privilege today of sitting at the feet of Jesus. If you could be anywhere in the world today, where would you be? Some resort in the Caribbean? Disneyland with your kids? Where would you be, really? Golfing at Pebble Beach? But what compares to sitting at the feet of Jesus? Now, I know some of you smarty pants would probably say, okay, I choose to sit at the feet of Jesus on a beach in Hawaii. Okay, I get that. All right, okay. But my point is simply that we have the opportunity, if we choose today to sit at the most precious piece of real estate in the world, and that's sitting with him. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? And that piece of real estate is available to us because it's blood bought. And I can take that so for granted, so for granted. And you can sit there today. And Jesus paid for that privilege for us with his blood, and he willingly offers it to us if we choose to go there. Now notice in 40, so it kind of sets us up in 38 and 39, and Martha's doing her thing, and Mary's doing her thing. Martha, verse 40, was distracted with much serving. The word distracted means to be twisted around, to be drawn into different directions at the same time. So Martha's twisted around mentally and emotionally with much serving. So Martha's working away in the kitchen, hot kitchen, preparing fish sticks and fries for Jesus and the boys. And she looks out and she sees Mary not helping her, but instead sitting over there with Jesus. And the longer it goes on, the hotter she gets. That isn't fair. Here I am slaving away like a dog. And she's sitting over there on her rumpus, sitting with him. And finally, she hits the boiling point. And she isn't just mad at Mary. She's mad at Jesus, too. And I think we can identify with Jesus here. You know, there's time, or with Martha here, there's times in our Christian service that we're doing things, and we know God has called us to do, and we're working at it, we're working at it, and we think, where's all the help? People said they were going to help me. And then you go to look for them, and they're sitting in the corner reading their Bible. It's like, what are you doing? You got no time for that. We got things to do. And I think that's what Mary did, or what Martha did. I'm going to confuse them today a little bit back and forth, so give me room there. No, don't think of Mary as some sort of spiritual slacker who can never be found any time there's work to do. Notice carefully when it says there in 40, and she approached Jesus, Martha does, and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve? Now, the way I read that, that means Mary was with her at some point in time helping, and then she left her to go sit with Jesus. So at some point during the preparation of the meal, Mary decided, this is good enough, and I'm going in the other room to sit with Jesus. And she knows that Jesus didn't come to her house because he heard that the rack of lamb at Martha's house was the best. And I really like those little parsley things that they put on the plate. That wasn't why he's there. And Mary recognized that, you know what, that's not why he came. But on the other hand, Martha wants everything just right. Probably a list maker. She's checking it off as she goes. Unfortunately, we list makers can be a bit inflexible. And we see here that she goes on to rebuke the creator of the world for it. Wow. Think of it this way. Wouldn't it be tragic to have the Lord Jesus in your home and the whole time you spent in the kitchen making the best grilled cheese sandwich known to man? At some point, it's just a sandwich. Get in the living room and sit with Jesus, right? And that's why I think 40 is important when it says, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care? Now, can you see Martha standing over Jesus with her hands on her hips, looking down the furrowed brow at him? She's so irritated with Mary, she doesn't even say her name. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now, I'm not sure how things go in your family, but when I hear Sandy say, oh, that husband of mine, I know that that's not a good thing. Something I've done wrong along the line. Well, Martha doesn't appreciate getting left alone, so she rebukes Jesus for allowing Mary to sit there with him. Boy, anytime we're tempted to rebuke Jesus, it's an indicator, but that train is off the tracks, and we're ready to crash, and she's going to crash here as we go through here. So she proceeds to command Jesus, you see. Therefore, the last part of 40, tell her to help me. Jesus, make her help me. Now, I doubt she was like this all the time. But a person who gets fixated on doing can sometimes act this way. And she's critical. She's inflexible. She's blaming others. Imagine the atmosphere of the room, okay? All these people are sitting in the room. They're listening to Jesus teach and kingdom things. And it's really wonderful. And they're receiving from God. And it's a wonderful time. All of a sudden, in storms Martha. She puts her hands on her hips. She looks to Jesus. She says what she says. Talk about a mood changer. Man, what's wrong with that woman? Holy cow. She needs to relax a little bit. Now, from my vantage point, some 2,000 years later, I find it kind of amusing. But part of it is, again, because I recognize there's Martha in me, and when I get twisted around in serving the Lord and I get impatient and frustrated, it's always due to the fact that I just need to spend more time with Jesus. So then with 41, we hear Jesus' response. He answers and says to her, Martha, Martha. Now, if Jesus says your name twice, we're probably about to receive a subtle rebuke. And he says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Now, it does say, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Jesus knows how to demonstrate his love to us. He knows. And so not only is it a little rebuke, it's a term of endearment. I don't know how you hear Jesus say those words. I hear tenderness when he says it. Martha, Martha, I don't see him. How dare you call me out in front of my fellas? You got no right to talk to me like that. I don't hear that at all as he says this. He loves this girl. She's very special to him. They're wonderful friends, and he has deep compassion for her. He understands where she's coming from. So his rebuke, in my opinion, very loving and gentle. Notice he says, you're worried and troubled about many things. You're agitated, Martha. You're agitated at me, you're agitated at Mary, you're agitated at the whole situation. Notice he says in 42, but one thing is needed. And Mary's chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So what's the one thing? Sitting with me, Jesus speaking, receiving from me. Certainly Jesus appreciates the hard work that Mary had been doing. He absolutely appreciates what she's been doing for, but it's not the most important thing to him. So in essence, Jesus is saying, given a choice between having a child of mine serve me in the other room or having a child of mine in the room with me, I'll choose you with me every time. And Martha has her priorities upside down. And we Marthas in the body of Christ that can be prone to this kind of mistake. Notice the word, and I think it's an important word in 42, chosen. You see it there? Mary has chosen. She chose wisely when she came in and sat down at Jesus' feet. And we make the choice this week whether we're going to sit at Jesus' feet or not. You're going to choose. Throughout your week, you're going to choose. You're just going to decide. But this piece of real estate that we're talking about today, it's available to you. And that's the needful thing, Jesus would say. And he defends that place by telling Martha that he's not going to make Mary leave. And Jesus is saying a really important thing right here. He's saying love's deepest expression is devotion, not service. Do you hear it? Love's deepest expression is devotion, not service. Men, you need to listen to that when you think about how you're loving your wife today. Love's deepest expression is devotion. Because we guys sometimes get caught up in, honey, I'm going to work. I chop the wood. I bring the wood in because we burn our fire every day. You know, I do all these things. I work hard. I help the kids with the homework. I'm doing this, honey. But love's deepest expression is devotion. Spending time with your wife. Spending time. Is Sandy's in the nursery? Okay, good. Woo! All right. Clear that hurdle. But isn't it true? And it, of course, I'm just talking to the guys. It works the other way around, too. It especially works that way to God. And sometimes we get caught up in this idea that, Lord, don't you see what I'm doing? I'm busy serving you. I get up first thing in the morning, and I'm gone, and I'm doing, and I'm living, and I'm going, and I'm being, and I'm showing, and all the things that you call me to. And Jesus says, but I just want you to sit with me for a little bit. I think that's the point of the passage. Jesus is always more interested in the servant than the service. And some of us, though, we find it hard to receive the love of God in that place because we feel like we're accepted if we do. And when we sit still, it's hard to feel like God can just love on me there. And maybe we kind of finally come to that point, you know what, okay, I accept all that to be true, and then we blow it. You know, we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off, we give them the finger, or we yell at them, or we slug somebody, or we do something, we blow it big time, and then we think, okay, Lord, sorry, now, I'm going to get up every week, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm not going to stop at one chapter, I'm going to do two. And I'm going to help my kids with the homework willingly, and all these things, Lord, I'll show you I love you. And then we think at the end of the week after we've done a few things, aren't you happy with me now, God? You got to be happy with me now. Yeah, I blew it on Monday morning, but look at what I've done the rest of the week. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. God loves me every moment along the way. He loves me freely, and he'll never deserve his love. And the reason I desire to live a holy life is because I love him, because I want to honor him with my life. That's why I serve. That's why I give. I love God. It's not about that mentality. I got to push that aside. Lord, it's not about me doing to please you. It's receiving from you. And out of that receiving, then I live a holy life. You know what? I haven't flipped the finger at the people in like a week. I'm doing really well. Although I did get yelled at the basketball game yesterday, and that was a little hard, but, you know, and I didn't even want to yell back at her. She was about 87. But she was mean. All right, I lied. She probably 83. Yeah, we should serve God. God wants us to serve him. God wants us to glorify him with our lives. But our service should be born out of devotion. Amen? That's it. That's the key to this passage. And I purposely stopped short last week because I wanted to land on these five verses a little bit and let us just kind of settle in on us. Love's expression comes from devotion. That's what God wants in our hearts. So Mary chose the better thing. Well, she did, didn't she? She chose the better thing. Because she chose devotion over service. A couple things to take away potentially from this. You know, we talk a lot about Martha through here. She has a definite personality type. I think she's a take charge kind of girl. I'm married to one and I like it. But those of us who are take charge kind of people, we have an issue that we've got to acknowledge that I'm prone to living a Martha kind of life. Aren't you thankful that there are different personalities in the body of Christ? Can you imagine if everybody was like you? Or me? No, let me turn that around. Can you imagine if everybody's like me? Holy moly, the world would be in trouble. I mean, I'm thankful that we're different that way. Diversity in the body of Christ is great. And Mary and Martha have different personalities. And Martha expressed her love for God by serving, by doing. By the way, remember last week it was kind of cold in here because one of the furnaces went out? Somebody expressed his love for God this week by serving. He came in here and fixed that. It turned out to be a motor that had burned out. He came in here and gave of himself this week so that we could sit here today and not feel cold. he expressed his love for God by serving. It's a great thing. But we just got to recognize through this that we that do have a tendency to feel like I've earned something from God because I did. And God says, hold on. I want you to sit with me. I want to enjoy your presence. So if we tend to, if we have that inside of us, let's remember that Jesus treasures the time that we spend at his feet more than the service that we offer to him. So what does sitting at Jesus' feet look like to us today? It's simply devoting a period of time each day to being with him, Bible reading, prayer time. You'll hear it referred to as having a devotional life. It's through the reading of Scripture and praying that I hear the voice of God. So to sit at Jesus' feet today like Mary did here is to simply take this book and read it in fellowship with God on a daily basis. And we all know that Mary and Martha talk with Jesus, so how do we do that today? It's simply by praying, by spending time hearing, listening to God and speaking with God. I get a kick out of people, and you know, if you do it, I don't mean to, but I get my mother-in-law, does. When she prays King James. We don't talk King James, but she prays King James. I don't know why, but I always I have to suppress my giggling when she does it, because it's like, oh, holieth fathereth, howeth we loveth thee. You know, and I'm like, well, I can't imagine my kids coming home from school this way. You know, my kids are out. They're coming home from school and say, oh, gracious father, you know, to me. I'm like, no, just talk to me, you know. And that's what God just wants us to, you know, it's okay. If you speak hillbilly Indiana, speak it to God. It's good. Be that way. Be you to God. He knows you. You don't have to come up with all these flowery words and come up. I mean, I'm really good at one syllables, you know, just one syllable. God, I love you. Woo, I'm good. And why do I have to come up with this, you know, I get brownie points if I say it with a little more expressiveness. So that's what God is calling us to, is a relationship with him. Amen? That's what he wants. And we just got to fight for time to sit at his feet. And I know it can be hard, but I'm not convinced that some of the issue is that we're not very disciplined in our spiritual life. We're disciplined and I have to be at work at 7:30, and we're disciplined about dinners at 6 and it better be ready, and we're disciplined about a lot of things. Why is it our spiritual life is kind of like haphazard? Why can't it be the same way in our spiritual life? We say, Lord, I'm going to spend some time with you today, and the best time for me to spend, for me, the best time is about midnight. That's the best time for me. Only college kids and high school kids, if they're in trouble, call me at that time. So it's very quiet, and Sandy's in bed, and I can just spend time with God. It's a great time for me. When's yours? Fight for it. And God's simply saying today in these five verses, I long for that time with you. Maybe a little story for you will help. There was a man, he had lost his wife and was left with his daughter. And he loved having time with her. But they could only spend evenings together since she was in school and he had a job. But they sure enjoyed that time. They would make dinner together and then clean up together. And then they'd go in and she'd read to him and they'd do homework together. And then sometimes she'd play on her piano and sing to him. And he just really treasured that time. And the both of them just really enjoyed that time. Well, late in the fall one year, the daughter goes up to dad after dinner and says, Dad, I'd like to go to my bedroom for a little bit tonight. And he says, oh, okay. So she goes in, closes the door and spends some time in her bedroom. And the next night she says the same thing. And it goes on for a while, and he's so disappointed that she's deciding to go into the bedroom during this time. Well, Christmas morning arrives, and she gets up and runs into the bedroom and gets him his present, and he opens it up. It's a pair of crocheted slippers that she had made for him during that time. And he puts them on, and they fit right, and they're warm, and they're cozy, and everything's wonderful. And he says, honey, that's so nice. Thank you for this. I really appreciate this. However, I would much preferred all those days, all those evenings of you just being in the room with me. Now, I don't know how that hits you, but I think that's kind of God's attitude toward us sometimes. We feel like we got to scurry about. I'm going to go sit in the bedroom and make God some crocheted slippers. And he's gracious to us. Isn't he gracious to us? Thank you, Lord, for your grace to us. Toby, thanks for the crocheted slippers. but I much prefer you just sitting right here with me for a little bit. As a dad, man, that resonates with me, thinking of my kids wanting to be in the room with me and enjoying being there. You know, and they're old enough now that I not ask them to sit on my lap, but I sure enjoy them being in the room. And we had to make a couple compromises as I grew up. I can't deal with Nickelodeon Channel. There's only so much SpongeBob that one man ought to be able to take. And back in our days, it was Blue's Clues. You know, it's like, no, that's not going to work. Now, I'm not asking you to watch sports with me, although my kids really enjoy sports. So we settled on the Food Channel. I can deal with some of that stuff. And some, you know, so it was like a way of compromising. I just wanted to be in the room with them. And what's cool about it is they wanted to be in the room with me. And I think I understand that as a dad more. And then I can understand maybe God's perspective toward me. Toby, I just love it when you sit with me. I'm not calling you to be out there chasing around all the time. I'm thankful that you have a heart to serve me, but I want you to spend time at my feet. That's the lesson of today. So the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, the lawyer, he said it right when Jesus asked him a question. Remember what he said? I'm to love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength, and that's the one. And then the other is, remember, I'm to love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus says, ding, ding, you win the gold star. That's what he said. And Jesus, then the guy says, so who's my neighbor? And Jesus says, your neighbor is serving anyone who has need. Go serve them. But we need to be careful, because it follows then right after Jesus uses this example for us, because he wants us to learn that doers are prone to this mistake. Okay, Lord, I'm going to serve my neighbor. No. Slow down. Spend time with me. Out of that time with me, that's the catalyst for serving others, for giving to others, for serving others. I tease about Tom and Chris, but they just spent time in Mazatlan serving the people in Mazatlan. Keep praying for our youth group. We're going there. I don't even know. I'm trying to block it out of my mind. When are we going? End of June. Yeah, keep praying for us. I think we're officially landed at 12. Oh, that's a great team. It's going to be a great team. Pray for us. We just want to go serve those people. But we've been talking with the youth about, where does it come from? It comes from a love for God, a relationship with God, that I want to serve him in that way. Okay? Here, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this reminder, just a gentle reminder of how much you love us, how much you desire for us to sit with you and receive from you and to grow in you. Lord, thanks. Thanks for the simplicity of the Christian faith. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we just sit with you for a couple of minutes, that you would help us to understand your heart for us individually in this passage. Lord, for some of us, maybe it's been a long time since we sat still with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would, if the conviction's needed, that we receive it. And if a gentle rebuke's needed, then we would receive it, Lord. And then we acknowledge it, yeah, Lord, I've drifted away. And Lord, I confess that as sin, and I repent of it. And Lord, I desire to sit with you. That's why we're church, Lord. We want to be with you. And I pray that all week long, you would continue to drive this home inside of us. That, Lord, maybe we would turn the TV off more. Maybe we turn the radio off as we drive. Maybe those kind of things. Driven by you, Lord, that we would just say, I desire time with you more than listening to this or watching that. And Lord, I pray that we would have a devotional life. Each one of us. Not because pastor tells us we should, but because you desire that time with us. I pray we would desire it as much as you do, Lord. Jesus, thanks for coming to this earth and dying for us. Thanks for going to that cross and taking the punishment for my sin and our rebellion so we can be free today. And thank you that you call us to relationship. Lord, we want to commune with you. Thank you for wanting to commune with us. We're going to offer communion today. We're going to pass it out. We do communion a lot of different ways. So some of the guys right now, they're going to pass it out. If you choose to take communion, grab hold of it. And then just, let's just sit for with Jesus for a little bit. And Ethan, just strum away for a bit. And we'll just let this kind of settle for a little bit. Lord, we offer this time to you. And pray that your will would be done. Settle our hearts, Lord. I know even in those, not even a minute, my mind goes 1,000 different places. And I think about all these other things, Lord. Right now, Lord, I pray that you could just supernaturally get those things out of our heads, Lord. And we just focus on your goodness and your majesty. And we worship you, Lord. We do. We want to honor you right now with our thoughts.